got this love I've got to give.
I'm Melinda Crawford, a Scottish fiddler, and you're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
What is dementia? Is it the same as Alzheimer's? If someone has memory loss, does that mean they have dementia? Millions of Americans ask these questions every day. Hello, I'm Kevin Jameson, volunteer and president of the Dementia Society of America. Please request our free guide filled with facts about dementia and ways you can keep your brain as healthy as possible. Go to 1-800-DEMENTIA.org or call 1-800-DEMENTIA. You want to live your life to the fullest, and we can help.
Hey, look, everyone, it's Mando!
Everybody ready?
Mm-hmm.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to Whiskey Before Breakfast Radio, or the Roots Program, depending on where you are listening. I am Mando Richard. It's my pleasure to be rejoining you here in 2026. Yes, this is the first time I've been live in the WRCT Pittsburgh studio since 2025, so last year. Anyway, I hope everybody enjoys today's show, whether you're listening on WVUD or WKYWLP, or Tube City Online Radio, or WUTC. I've got quite the show, and we've got some new music at the top of the second hour, including a world radio debut. We've got an interview with Jake Eddy. We've got lots of stuff. So why don't I shut up and just get going? Here come the Racines.
Thank you.
salty as they touch my lips, and I think of you. What was now is not, the memories they haunt me. Tonight is reserved for tequila and teardrops. Jose's on his way, give the blues to the gold. The hurt starts to purge, the tears start to flow. Tequila and teardrops, they both taste so salty as they touch my lips. I think of you. Tequila y lágrimas, ambos saben tan salados. Cuando tocan mis labios y pienso en ti. What was now is not, the memories they haunt me. Tonight is reserved for teardrops. Tonight is reserved for tequila and teardrops.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hello, this is John Previty. You're listening to Whiskey Before Breakfast with Mando Richard.
and rubbing alcohol. Said you drink so much, baby. It's a low down dirty shame. Well, you know you drink all the time. I know now, baby, you messed up all in mine. I said you drink so much, baby. It's a low-down dirty shame. Name. Oh, yeah.
I'm in love.
in the background, you're listening to Tommy Jackson and his band play Whiskey Before Breakfast, our theme song from back in the 1950s. Now, let me tell you about our liquored up set of music. We start off with the Racines doing Whiskey, C'est Mon Ami, Whiskey is My Friend, from that collection of Cajun and Creole drinking songs I've been known to dip into, L'Homme Boit un Coup, which came out in 2007 on Valcour Records. Then Dale Watson gave us Tequila and Teardrops from his 2014 record, Whiskey or God. Then after the PSA, Jontavious Willis gave us Liquor from his 2019 record, Spectacular Class. And then the last thing on the set was the Atlas String Band doing She Likes Liquor Better Than Me from their 2007 record, Strong Shoulder. And those are tunes that listeners have commented on and how much they enjoy them. So I played some old tunes there for you in the Liquored Up set. Coming up next, we've got a really nice conversation I had with guitarist Jake Eddy back on Monday, January 5th. And it's going to start off with Jake playing Libbegotten's Freight Train. Ladies and gentlemen, what you just heard was the pride of Parkersburg, West Virginia, Jake Eddy, playing Freight Train and Graduation March. And he's on the line with us right now. Hello, Jake.
Hey, Richard. Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me.
I chose to start off with Freight Train and Graduation March from that old record of yours, Live at the Spanish Ballroom, because I think the first time you heard Freight Train was your grandpa playing it.
Yeah, that's true. So I was raised up by good guitar players, my grandpa being one, my mom being another. And that was just something that, you know, my grandpa was like a Travis picker and stuff, really a banjo player by trade, but played a lot of like Travis picking and sort of all that sort of finger picking stuff. And Freight Train was just something he played a lot. I never knew that was such a popular tune until I got older. It's just something I heard around the house. And yeah, I love that tune. That's a sentimental tune for me.
You're from a musical family, and you're from a musical part of the state of West Virginia.
Yeah, absolutely. So my, you know, like I mentioned, good guitar players, good banjo players in my family. On my mom's side and on my dad's side, there was good fiddlers, old-time fiddlers that played on the Grand Ole Opry and stuff like that. My cousin Lester Newberry, was a great, great fiddle player who's still alive, who's probably 96, 7, 8, 9 in that range now. I haven't seen him in a long time. But, yeah, so definitely lots of music in the family and lots of music locally. You know, Johnny Statz lives here in our counties. I see him all the time. I mean, there's tons of music in this region. You know, Tim O'Brien is a West Virginian. I don't know. I would hate to list a bunch. I'm sure I'll leave a lot out. But, yeah, this is a great fertile place for bluegrass music, old-time music.
I can remember being a kid going to the Jamboree over there, WWVA, in Wheeling.
Yeah, in Wheeling. Some great recordings from there, from back in the day, too.
Well, before we get started really chatting about you and the guitar, I want to just tell people why we're talking to you. Jake Getty is starting his winter tour on Thursday, January 15th, and he's going to be in the home area of WRCT Pittsburgh at Acoustic Music Works. And then for more information, go to acousticmusicworks.com. Jake, I think the seats are already sold out. I think they're down to standing room only.
Yeah, that's right. So they did a pre-sale of, you know, I'm not sure however many for the actual seated tickets. Those are all sold out, thankfully. And you can still get tickets at the door, but there'll be standing room. They might have some additional seating, but it's not guaranteed. So you might be standing if you come now, but I'd love to see you sitting, standing, either way.
And then from there, you go to Pine Grove Mills, Pennsylvania, sort of between Harrisburg and Reading, but a little bit north. And then you go on to the listening area of another one of the stations that my programs are heard on, WVUD and WVUD HD1, Newark, Delaware. Because you're on the 17th, you're going to be at the Buzzware Village Center for Progressive Acoustics. And then the 18th, you're going to be at the Kelly Center up in Havertown, Pennsylvania, also for Progressive Acoustics. And people, if you want more information about those, go to www.progressiveacoustics.org and click on the word events for information about those shows. Do you usually do workshops in conjunction with the shows, or is that sometimes yes, sometimes no?
Yeah, I would say it's, you know, maybe 10% of the time. I love to teach. I love to do the group workshops before a show if a venue, you know, if it makes sense. Like Ted, who puts on the shows there in Arden and in Havertown, he's, you know, he hosts a lot of shows and also workshops and square dances and things like that. So I'll teach workshops on the day of both of those shows. And then I'll do a workshop on the later portion of the tour in New York. But out of the 10 dates, yeah, there's two or three with workshops.
My friend Chris Worth told me that you're going to be doing a workshop at his at the show you're doing for him up at Guitar Town.
That's right. So there's four, I guess.
I think it's really cool to see how much you go about sharing what you do with the music. I mean, my God, your Instagram feed is just filled with Jake Getty playing guitar or showing chords. Or,
you know, it's something that I didn't... The online thing has been so successful that sometimes sounds phony to say, but I never worked at it too awfully hard. Like, I figured I'm sitting around practicing anyway, and I just started sharing, and here's what I'm working on, or here's something... you know, that you can work on or whatever. And it just sort of took off during COVID, really. Before that, I was doing all the sort of promotion and all the whatever, the booking the old-fashioned way, you know, and I didn't have that online base. But, yeah, it's cool. It's been really helpful, especially for stuff like this. You know, it's a direct line to fans that, you know, like I think has sort of replaced, like, the mailing list or, you know, just, like, normal website traffic or whatever.
But you got these little nuggets you can put out there, like, here are my favorite chord sequence from Tony Rice. You
know,
that run where he goes from A minor to D. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah,
of course. And that's stuff that is hard to, you know, and I don't mean to, like, run anybody else down, but there's a lot of sort of bad instructional materials out there. And, you know, a lot of the guys who are willing to teach don't always play, I don't want to say they don't play well, but they don't always play, not always super accurate or sort of faithful transcriptions of the stuff they're teaching. So I hope to be sort of helpful in a real way for folks.
You do it in a way that I think is fascinating to me, because you explain it, you slow it down a little bit, but you don't dumb it down.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I try to give, you know, the sort of the viewers, the listeners, whatever, just the benefit of the doubt. Like, I think dumbing down stuff for folks is sometimes more harmful than just, you know, just give it to them straight. And, you know, none of it's that hard if you can communicate it well. And I try to be kind of common sense in my, you know, explanations of stuff. And I mean, it's just picking. How hard can it be?
Well, one of my favorite things you did, I can't remember when you put it up there, was
You showed yourself warming up, doing an improv on Soldier's Joy for minute after minute after minute. Why is it important to do that kind of warm up?
For me, I think it's good to sort of, I mean, you know, you learn so much stuff over your course of your career, or of your sort of your journey playing music. You learn so many licks and tunes and little phrases and chords, and you develop so many ideas. And like, for me, I often wonder, like, am I really remembering these things? Like, I know a lot of stuff, I've played a lot of stuff, but do I have access to it when I need it or if I need it? And so when I do those sort of long stretches of improvising on a single tune or on a single idea, it's more about taking inventory of stuff I already know, making sure I have, you know, if I have an idea that I can have it at my fingertips without going, oh, how did that go? Or I don't remember that. Or, you know, so for me, it's more about just keeping everything kind of at the surface and accessible for when I really need it. So if that makes sense.
Sounds to me like you, Jake Eddy, are a little bit like Doc Watson used to be, where they used to say he never plays it the same way once.
I don't know if I try to or try not to, but I don't ever seem to. And sometimes I feel almost as surprised of what I'm playing as maybe a listener would, you know, at least that's what I strive for.
One of the funniest things you've done recently is you've made this limited run of a book you call 100 G Runs to Impress Your Lover. What the heck?
Right. So it's not out yet. We're sort of finishing it up right now. But, you know, the title is just a goof, just a funny thing to sort of like catch the eye or whatever. But, yeah, it's just 100 variations on a standard like bluegrass guitar G run. And so, you know, something that everybody can play. But kind of what you talked about, the same idea of playing a tune a whole bunch of times. This is just sort of was my attempt at like squeezing every bit of creativity out of that tiny, you know, there's kind of standard ones and sort of bluesy ones and syncopated ones. And there's just all, you know, all the different ones I could think of. It took me a long time. 100 is a lot.
Did you literally do them all in the key of G, or did you
how to
move them like the key of A or D?
Yeah. They're all in a G shape, and you could, you know, and you know, there's lots of other runs that you can do in C shapes and stuff like that. But this was sort of just focused on that one G-shape run. But yeah, there could be more additions for other things that come out later. I don't know. But
one of the other things you do in your teaching that I think is really cool, though I suspect since you're a new parent, you're sort of put this on hold for a bit, you have homestays where you let people come and live with you and your guitar collection.
Totally. So it's something that I do off and on. I've wanted to do more of it lately, and we've had a terrible stretch of luck. My wife had some health stuff going on, and we both had COVID, and we had the norovirus, and like, so a bunch of things have got shifted around, and I've hated that. But yeah, off and on I do these things called homestays, and basically I just welcome the student here and I teach them sort of like a 9-to-5. You know, we just get up in the morning and we work and work and work and work, and then we go to dinner and go to bed, you know, not together. But and it's a lot of fun. You know, I've had I have to look through my guest book and stuff, but I'd say in the 80s, 90 people maybe over the past 3 or 4 years. A lot of fun, you know. And I always joke, I say out of, you know, 75, 80 people, whatever, I've had like 2 people that I really wanted to go home, and that's pretty good odds. They don't know which ones they were, but no, man, I love doing it, and you know, we're people, and we love to host, and we've had a great time with it.
I think it's probably time to listen to Jake Eddy play his guitar. And I've picked out a track from a record you made, oh, I think, what, 2023? The record you made with Victor Furtado?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know that it was 2020-something. And it was, we actually did that record in Pittsburgh, believe it or not.
Did you? Cool.
We recorded it at this place called The Church.
Yeah.
It's a recording studio. It's just fantastic.
Well, and the track I've selected for us to do is Jack of Diamonds into Leather Breeches, which shows you and Victor Furtado playing at different tempos.
A lot of fun, that tune. And I think the reason why we sort of combined them like that is just they were both sort of on a short list of tunes we wanted to do, and they were in the same key or something. And so we just said, well, just get a twofer, you know, two for one.
Thank you.
ladies and gentlemen, you just heard Jake Eddy and banjoist Victor Furtado play a medley of Jack of Diamonds and Leather Breeches from a record they put out, I think, in 2023 called Jake Eddy Meets Victor Furtado. And Jake Eddy's on the line because he's going to be coming to Pittsburgh, where you can hear this on Whiskey Before Breakfast on WRCT Pittsburgh. And he's coming to Arden, Delaware and Havertown, Pennsylvania, where you can hear this conversation on WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark, Delaware on the Tuesday Roots program. I just think it's so cool to see someone like yourself able to basically make a living with music.
Yeah, well, you know, it's at the risk of sounding like bragging, it's the only job I've ever had. I got to play banjo for this guy, Melvin Goins, who was a Lonesome Pine fiddler. He was a Clinch Mountain boy, and he was my first boss. I was 14, and he was, I think, 82 or something like that, 80-something. And that was my first job, and you know, since then, that's been what I've done, basically. I mowed my neighbor's lawn in junior high school for $30 or $15 a week, maybe, or something like that, and then was in bands. You know, that's all I've ever done. And so, yeah, there's been times that it was scrappier than it is now, and I'm thankful that it's has trended up, and yeah, I love it, man. I wouldn't have it any other way.
In 2025, you went on a tour of the West Coast with Noam Pikelny. I bet that was a whole lot of fun.
Noam's the best, you know, and it was a great time. I'll tell you, never tell him this, or maybe I should. When I was a kid, you know, I was a banjo player first. Like, I learned to play the banjo when I was, you know, like 8, 9, 10 years old. And Noam was sort of a hero of mine as I got older and started discovering some of his playing and stuff. And, you know, so to get to stand next to him every night was like, you know, a dream come true. And no, man, I mean, Noam is the best. I was so thankful to get that call and excited to do more of it, you know, when the time comes.
The other thing that I think is so important about, you know, guitar players like you and Kenny Smith's another one that I think of immediately, or Tony Rice used to be this way too, is it's not just about zooming on the sixth string. It's about playing well with others.
Yeah, you know, and there's different times in my life where I've focused more on that. It's more on the solo playing, which is something that I care a lot about as well. And I mean solo, I mean, you know, just by myself, not playing solos. But, and yeah, I mean, in my dream world, you know, there's sort of two things I really like to nurture. Again, that's the solo playing, but also I love playing accompaniment in a group. You know, I love playing behind Noam, you know, or behind whoever. Like, you know, sit down and play with somebody like Brian Sutton or Kenny Smith, whoever. Those guys are so great to sort of go back and forth with and sort of react and listen. And so, yeah, I love to play accompaniment probably more than I like to play anything else, really, if I'm honest. But that doesn't always – I haven't found the thousands of people who want to come out and hear rhythm guitar all night yet, although they might be out there.
It's really a great part of folk music is learning how to play not flashy guitar leads, but also learning how what you do makes others sound better.
Absolutely, and you know, it's a great skill, and it's really the only important skill. I talk to students all the time and tell them that I would much rather play with like a guy who solos sort of so-so, but can play great accompaniment or knows a lot of songs or is a good band sort of person than somebody who's like a great flashy player that maybe doesn't accompany so well. So yeah, I mean, those guys are the best, those kind of pickers, you know.
One more thing I had on my list of notes is you seem to have an awful lot of vintage guitars go through your house.
Yeah, that's been sort of like a, you know, it's a really serious addiction problem of mine. But also it's been sort of like a little bit of a side gig, flipping guitars and sort of brokering and dealing in vintage guitars and whatever. I have a serious thirst for vintage Martin, and you know, there's been a few through the years that I think might be the forever one, and I have one now that I'm really, really hoping it's the forever one, but you know, I have sort of a wandering eye with those old ones, so it's you never know. But yeah, I've been lucky to have some really fantastic ones, and you know, they keep popping up.
Well, those of us with IAS, that's instrument acquisition syndrome, understand exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, you know, and it's something like, I never had a hobby or anything that was non-music related, you know, and not, I mean, obviously guitars are music related, but it's a little, scratches a little bit of a different itch than playing music. It's like, you know, I've sort of become a bit of a, like, historian and a real nerd about those old guitars. And so it's a little bit of a different thing, still music related, but it's another interest of mine that I give a lot of time to it. I really do enjoy it.
What's really the difference between a 1937 Martin D18 and one that was made last year?
I mean, on paper, maybe not so much. I mean, you know, they both have spruce top. They both have mahogany back and sides. They're very likely they'll have a similar neck, you know, similar nut width or a similar shaped neck. But, you know, an old one will be made with high glue, whereas on a new one, they're using tight bond and stuff like that. Different sort of bracing things, which is the important thing. Different quality wood. There was a lot older wood you could get back then. You know, they were made usually by like one or two or three people, as opposed to now they're factory made. And you know, there's a lot of different things. Mainly just the quality of the craftsmanship and the quality of the materials back then is just so good. And they've had a lot of time to sort of grow together. You know, whereas a new guitar hasn't been played as much, hasn't had as much time to dry out or, you know, whatever. There's a million little things like that.
Well, they talk about, you know, a newer guitar hasn't been played in yet. In other words, it's not been affected by the vibrations of the strings yet.
Yeah, it's like anything. You know, it's like, what's the difference in a pair of boots made in 1950 and a pair of boots made now? Like, well, nothing really, but put them on and you'll feel, you know, you'll feel the difference.
Oh, we're having a good time here with Jake Eddy. And before you go, I should just say that, folks, if you want to learn more about Jake, I think the best place to do learn more about you is to go to Facebook or Instagram. Would you agree?
Yeah, social media is the stuff that I'm in most control over. I mean, you'll find other stuff that might be managed by folks that I work with and things like that. But, yeah, the most direct line to me is through social media, and that's where I'm dating and all that. So,
and, again, we're chatting with him because he's hitting a couple of different parts of our listening area here on Whiskey Before Breakfast Radio or the Roots Program. He's coming to Pittsburgh on Thursday, January 15th at Acoustic Music Works, and he'll be at the Buzzware Village Center in Arden, Delaware, and then in Havertown, Pennsylvania, he'll be at the Kelly Center, and those are January 17th and 18th, and supported by progressiveacoustics.org out in the Delaware Valley. Well, Jake, I think I want to play something from that Jake Eddy EP that you put out in, I think, 2021. I was thrilled to get a copy, sure. And Lord knows I play tracks from it all the time. And this is a duet you did with Brian Sutton, Billy in the Low Ground.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, thanks for playing it. I'm glad somebody's still playing it. Playing with Brian is the best. He's a superhero. He's the one that we all look toward, you know, now. And he is a mind reader. He is so great to play with, and he's probably the nicest guy I've ever met. So I had a great time on that session, and we have some other music coming out together at some point. Yeah, Brian is the best.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here comes Jake Eddy along with Brian Sutton doing Billy in the Low Ground. Thank you so much, Jake.
Hey, thank you, Richard. I hope to see y'all on these dates, and be well.
you so much to Jake Eddy for spending some quality time with us. I sure hope you enjoyed that conversation and the music in that set. In the background, you'll listen to Pony Folk play Summer from their 2025 record, The Woods Have Shown Us, a band from the Scandinavian side of the musical family, though they are from Minnesota. Now, in our conversation with Jake Eddy, he played Little Cotton's Freight Train, mixed in with Graduation March. Then he played Jack of Diamonds, along with Leather Breeches, which I do it with Victor Furtado on the banjo. And then the last thing is probably my favorite version of Billy and the Lowground I've heard in at least 10 years, if not 15 years. Jake Eddy and Brian Sutton. And boy, that's just such a treat to listen to. Listen to them take different leads. They did a duet, and lots of great rhythm work supporting each other. Thanks again, Jake, for having spent some time with us. Okay, let's see here. If I push this button right here, you'll hear a track from Terry Klein's new record, Hill Country Folk Music. Let's see what happens.
I went up on the mountain, boys, yes I did. I went up on the mountain to pray. There I met an old farmer with a wild-eyed cur. He said, son, let me show you the way. He led me up a path that was cut from stone. The cur stuck close by his side. The night fell hard and the world went dark. I was worried that the farmer had lied. Then I heard the song of the river and the stars that filled the sky. I suppose I might do better. Least I could do was try. Least I could do was try. Lit a fire, the cur laid down. We sat there quiet for a while. Then the farmer asked what had led me here to walk these rough rocky mounds. I told him that I kinda lost my way last year, and walking was all I could think to do. He said, some are all lost if we know it or not, which it seemed to me was true. Yes, I heard the song of the river and the stars that filled the sky. I supposed I might do better. Least I could do was try. Least I could do was try. In the morning and I looked around. The cur and the farmer were gone. So I headed off the mountain, boys, yes I did. Keep on keeping, keeping on. Yes, I'd heard the song of the river and the stars that filled the sky. I supposed I might do better. Least I could do was try. Try, at least I could do was try.
to do it right the way you wanted to. Instead of packing all your dreams away to do what they do. Honey, there's a spark inside of you, and it's been kindled in a fire that keeps pulling you through. Smothered and lost, it's getting harder to see. Why don't you give yourself some space to let the embers breathe? Remember, who do you want to be? 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 Honey, I come into terms with the fact that the only thing I can control is my own actions. And it hurts to know you're getting away with believing in the violence that you preach every day. Remember, who do you want to be? Who do you want to be? Should start again, and wouldn't you like another chance?
You just heard the Pears do Honey Eye from their 2025 record Together on a Rock, and before that, Terry Cline did Try from his 2025 record Hill Country Folk Music. We'll be back with more great music after the station break, and we're going to start off with a world radio premiere.
This is DJ Firefly, and you're listening to Whiskey Before Breakfast with Mando Richard on WRCT Pittsburgh, WVUD Newark, Delaware, WUTC Chattanooga, Tennessee, WKYWLP Kaiser, West Virginia, and WMCK.FM McKeesport, Pennsylvania.
Hey, Nancy, are you sober?
I am. Are you?
Whiskey, whiskey, Nancy, whiskey, 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 Nancy, oh. Whiskey, whiskey, Nancy, whiskey, 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 Nancy, oh.
All right, everybody, listen up. I got an announcement here from the Allegheny County Emergency Management Council. That's the Allegheny County Emergency Management Council. Are you in emergency? Call 911 if you can. Now text if you can't. Now, Southwestern Pennsylvania wireless customers can send an SMS text message to 911 operator from a mobile device when they can't place a phone call. This feature allows people with hearing or speech impairments, as well as those in situations where it's unsafe to speak on the phone, to contact 911 operators. If you text 911, only send text messages. Small to media files cannot be received by 911.